This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hello, and with me, Cam Ruslan, today we have two returns here after a long absence. We have, who should I start with? We have the legend of stand-up comedy here in Malaysia and and a script writer, Charmaine Othman.
Hello.
Hello. And we have, he's an educator, he's a singer-songwriter, he's got long hair, and he's too old to be having that. His name is Azmil Yunor.
Hello. Salam sejahtera.
And our three topics are, topic number one is sad songs, topic number two is stage banter, and finally topic number three will be censorship in Malaysia.
Yes.
Something's got to break.
Fantastic.
So, sad songs. And I'm going to be relying here on Azmil on your skill as a songwriter, but also Charmaine on your skill as a human being. Sad songs. I watched, I'm always intrigued to know why certain kinds of music will elicit a particular emotional response. What's the alchemy at work here? So, sad songs. I looked up a little tutorial on YouTube on how to make a sad song.
Oh, okay.
So, the guy mentioned a few things. One was pick a sad instrument. Mm-hmm. So, he said he Googled what are sad instruments. And people, it seems. Now, this would be a specifically culturally Western thing. If you go to different countries, it'd be different things.
Yeah.
But violins, apparently. Piano and the flute.
Ah. Yeah.
So so on his computer he would make something with that.
Okay.
What is a sound that elicits a response of, you know, sadness, and that would be playing in the minor key.
Yeah.
Although another tutorial said, no, you can do it by playing
major.
To minor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So in the minor key he came up with a thing. And he played a little melody, very good. And then one of the things he said was, you don't want it to be too clean.
Mm.
You don't want the beat, etc., to be too on the beat.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Because you're sad. You're in an emotional state.
Yep.
So things have to be a little bit sloppy.
Mm.
So on his computer screen, he was sort of deliberately sustaining a certain note, cutting it short, just to make it a bit broken up.
Yeah.
And another tutorial was saying that a good way to get sadness is to, who is speaking here? Is it, I am feeling sad? Or is it, she is feeling sad? Or you are feeling sad?
Oh, we all sad.
Yeah.
Let's sad together.
Yeah.
Did he give any examples of the best sad songs?
Well, these people, the different tutorials were actually mentioning examples of songs that I didn't know, actually, I have to say. There's a kind of newer breed.
Did he give Adele?
Well, on a list I looked up, Adele kept cropping up.
Yep.
So perhaps, Charmaine, you can tell us, are you ever in the mood for a sad song?
Yeah. You think when Adele's recent album came out, I had just gotten into a relationship.
Hmm.
And she just had a baby with her partner. And then you're like, can she still be sad? And she managed to pull out this album with sad songs, and it was more about memories of how, you know, you've become this different person, and there were all these chatter on the internet, how does Adele do it, you know, she still finds a way to make you feel sad, you know.
Well, that was another comment when I was going through a list of supposedly great sad songs. One thing that kept coming up was actually the sentiment in the song isn't just I'm sitting here and I'm feeling sad and everything's sad and it's all very sad, but it's a sense of defiance, and I'm going to get over this.
Yeah.
And so is it Gloria Gaynor's I Will Survive?
Yeah.
It's not written, it's a in-your-face kind of you won't destroy me, there's nothing you can do, I will survive.
Yeah.
And in a way, that's the sort of song that one goes to when one is feeling sad.
But also, it's a disco
song. It is a disco as well. But I mean, doesn't that comes under the category of a sad?
It is a heartbreak song,
Yeah.
Yeah. But you're talking about sad songs and the minor key. A lot of Malay rock is very sad, even though it may be a song about love, but they love the minor key.
Yes,
you know?
It's true.
Even if you write songs, I think naturally when you first start. That's why a lot of guys who will write songs will say, I don't listen to stuff I did as a teenager. Because you start that kind of something jiwang lah. It's just I think even you connected kids write poetry, no music, but it's always in teenhood, it's always your angry time. That's when, plus you find this medium, right? Songwriting. Mm-hmm. So I suppose that connects with something in us that we go back to that. Like you said, the age of I think just being in that age, teenhood, right?
And then, you know. But at teenhood also, you know, emotions come at you like thick and fast. You know, one day you're like really happy, the next
it's like a song. It's like an album, man. It's like next song is
your teens. Yeah, it's like an album. Yeah, right?
After the set song, it's like next song is like wow, you know, rock and roll. So, but even then, you know, I think there's an appeal. It's like life's guilty pleasure, lah. Sad songs.
But do you write sets? Have you written sets?
Yeah,
people
say it's sad. Okay. And that's when a good song comes, man.
Yeah.
When you're like in the dumps, that's always the best songs come up. But you know, then you look at the cost, right, of your life. I think when I write, I won't be happy. But you know, sometimes that's where it gets fun, lah. It's like, do you have to induce sadness? To like, if you rub out all the time, well, this guy's gonna make a good song. But I don't know if it's gonna be around long.
Yeah.
So there's, I mean, but again, those are, you know, like archetypes almost.
Yeah.
People like, expect it to be that way. Yeah. But you do somehow stand out. I don't know why. It's just appeal, you know. It's like,
but it works. I mean, it's the really good ones. They put you in that emotion. Yeah. I can't believe that the songwriters themselves are in that emotion. I think they're quite cynical.
Not really. Well, I would say if you got a handle of it, it's like a painter.
It's sort of like. I would imagine, I don't know, there's sad writing as well, right?
Yeah.
Like, so it's, if you have all this pent up, like, you know, emotions, then you just whoosh, write it in a song, you know?
Yep.
Yeah. Is there a documentary about Gloria Gaynor's I Will Survive on YouTube?
I don't know.
We should read up the history, right? What was the state of mind she was in? Because with Adele, like with her first two albums was definitely post-breakup.
I do not intimately know the works of Tay Tay.
Oh, Tay Tay. Oh, yeah.
But I get the impression that her songs lyrically are invariably about the breaking up with a boyfriend and how he was a real, you know, and he needs to die.
I guess she takes on the Gloria Gaynor vibe where it's more like a, there's a word for it. I can't put my finger on it. More like a survivor kind of a song. Breakup,
adversity,
but survivor.
You know, it's adversity and dealing with it. Yeah.
Well, which brings me to that.
Torch songs.
Well, we're going to wrap it up now. Yeah. And I'd say, fortunately, it's been a long time since I've needed to listen to a sad song. But if I remember rightly, the sad songs, in a way, that worked for me in the end was actually putting on Led Zeppelin. And being in my car, driving along, screaming at the top of my lungs in my little old Suzuki Vitara where neither the aircon nor the windows worked.
That's the best place to sing. Yeah. Of course, man.
And kind of like...
That's like being on stage.
Yeah.
Car singing. Yeah, car singing.
So either of you two got a go-to sad
song?
Charmaine, you said Adele. Wow.
Her like belt
fumble
is...
for the Adele to switch it on
now. Yeah, and I have it on CD.
Asmil?
I like to usually, if I'm busking in a mood, probably some Alley Cats, man, even though it's pop, but better. It's like you face mortality, but yeah, let's just sing first. Uh-huh. It's got that kind of vibe, lah. That's what Alley Cats is, you know, the songs hit home. And it's M. Nasi. So yeah, probably... an Alley Cat song.
All right. Okay, we move on, though, to topic number two. And Asmil, stage show banter.
Ah, yeah. It's, you know, people talk about sustainability, energy, and how can we harness our resources. So I always felt that, as you know, if you perform on stage, especially I'm coming looking at it from like this live music setting, indie scenes, where, you know, guys perform for the first time, you know, they forget that part of the thing about introducing yourself is opportunity to fit in something, make that part of your act or something. So then, or get to know, break things down. People are still stuck in this old system of like, oh, stage show must, you know, hi. Then you change the voice. Hi, we're like, why not? Hey, man, how are you? It's like, that's why, but we don't have MCs in the shows.
Mm.
When we're playing in Indonesia, one thing, some of the shows that was fun, interesting, live shows, that they will have like two MCs. Two guys. So there's like four acts. So in between, there's like MC, two guys.
Oh, okay.
So they're like, apa khabar semua? Then like, they're like, keep the band, keep it alive. Like, there's always an awkward silence the past band. Again. Like, you mind you getting this catharsis, this band? Everything. Wow. Then the end, thank you. Then it's just like awkward silence. There's, you know, I suppose those spaces are kind of like, So I see that that's how you can make shows more enjoyable and more efficient and less lag time. Because you fill the lag with something entertaining, something witty, you know.
You're talking about making the stage show experience, doing it more
professionally? Or even the guys, whoever does the, or even like the announcement, there's an opportunity there.
Because
somebody can do a stand-up, like, hi, I'm hosting tonight. Yeah. So you don't have to stand in front of the stage. But, you know, for me, it's like, it's just, oh, that's interesting. So then you get more like cross-pollination between the scenes, right? That's not happening a lot. Especially, you know, it's a person,
you
know.
Do you, which local singer that you have watched that has good, like, stage banter?
Well, me.
Yeah.
But seriously, I mean, like, I take that seriously, the banter that they do. Because, like, Bonner, when first time playing, I'm nervous on stage. How do you break the ice? Just talk to someone. You want to make them seem less scary to you, the audience, right? You also have to humanize them.
Yeah.
Yeah, how are you? Then they react, hey, well, the guy talking to me. Hi.
Yeah, what you're talking about is stage managing, stage crafting the entire...
Designing your show.
Yeah, designing
or just the thought of... I'm not saying there's a certain way.
That's what you say. It's putting thought into your show, which I think it's always forgotten. In many creative fields.
It becomes almost like a talent time block. There's like blocks of performances.
Feeling
like in this. Because,
I mean, what you do with the stand-up, etc. And also the shows, I mean, every second.
That's why I appreciate stand-up.
There's a lot of
every second. Even when like Disco Baldi, we did our like song, we did a show with just comedy songs. We wrote out in between songs the talk set, you know?
Yes.
So, like you said, there's no like dead air, you know?
Yeah, because energy can just die.
Yeah, you can.
Somebody's got to maintain that. So, you know, whether you blast a house music or something. But some thought to that. I think, like, I always feel that there's interesting bits that is kind of wasted. So I see that as a resource. Yeah. It's space and time, right?
But Azmil, can I ask you then? So there are times when you've, I mean, back in the old days when you were not the headline act, right? And you might come on a little bit later in the evening. So is
usually it... Usually the other way around, you go first, probably.
Let's say you came on a little bit later in the evening. Is it possible that the whole experience could have been so badly stage managed that even if you put on the best set you possibly could, it's going to die because the energy is already gone?
Not necessarily.
You can still turn it on.
Yeah. I mean, people come to you shows with different expectations and pleasures.
Yeah.
Sometimes just seeing them play is fine. They don't care about that, all that. So, but I'm just treating it in a sense that it's not like a exchange. It's more like, look, we got this date time. It's always it's fun to fill it in with something.
Hmm.
Just, you know, like, because...
How about Azmil with a stand-up comedian who...
That's the thing. Yeah. You can get stand-up to like...
Yeah.
Shaming can give you
I don't
discount.
Know whether she emceed or whether she was the opening act. It was very rare that musicians get stand-up comedians. But Amy Schumer opened for Madonna at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah. But like combining both your topics, I went to see Adele in Australia. So she would sing her emo sad song. The minute her song finishes... And then she does great audience banter. And she becomes this really, like, relatable person. Like, your next door neighbor or the fun person in the office. Yes. She just, so...
And she might even stop a song.
Yeah.
If it hasn't been going
well. Oh, my God, I screwed it up. Can we start again? Yeah. And then, you know, she does that, right?
And you know how to fill that in. Yeah, like, let's do it again. Yeah. Instead of panicking. Sorry. You know, that kind of stuff, right? Yeah.
But, Azmil, you're good at it, you say.
I mean, I do it lah. People enjoy it. Like my friend by my CD say, oh man, the album's not, it shows, there's no banter. You can't record banter.
Yeah, but like,
you record live show, you know?
I went and saw Bob Dylan.
Yeah, when he doesn't say anything.
He doesn't say anything. Yeah. There's no banter.
That's different. There's no we cannot banter. Think, we're mere mortals. We're not.
I know.
Dylan's, you know.
Well, that's the thing. He's Bob Dylan.
He's ethereal.
There was no banter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The show was, and you know, bless him, it's his right. He played only the new stuff, none of the old stuff.
No, but you see, that's why he's earned it. He's been playing that long. When he started out, he had banter. He had to.
Did
he fought back the crowds. Someone calling him Judas. He said, like, I don't believe you. You're a liar. Then he says to the band,
he sort of reached
loud.
The point where I don't need to.
Yeah, but that is interaction. That's not just a chance that they're having interaction. That's part of how what was going on. Like. You sing it live, man. Between the performer, the artist, and that's a space.
Right. You know?
He could have just kept quiet. Judas, yeah.
Okay, so any performers or singers out there, you've heard it here from Asma, you know, the man.
No, I mean, one of my favorite guys I've seen perform, I've had the pleasure seen play twice, is a guy called Mark Eitzel. He's from this band called American Music Club.
Mm-hmm.
So they had they won albums on, but one of those tragic bands that you know, there was just no market for them. They wrote really great songs. So, but his songs are very, very alive, you could say. You know? So, but he's, when you see, and also sad. When you talk about sad, American Music Club and Mark Eitzel, those two words go together. But when you see him live, he plays his sad songs, but he's so affable in between.
Yeah.
But it's not like he's cracking jokes, he's just being himself. There's once he almost tipped over because he's on a stool. Whoa! So he stops halfway song because he's really into the song. It's like, whoa, whoa. Then he just throws up. Oh, yeah, man. Then he starts again. And so that is how he takes it. He doesn't go like, oh, panic. Ah, sorry. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
You want to bring back the humanity.
Humanity. Don't apologize.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a good first tip. You know, like, I mean, guys, don't apologize. You got the mic, man. It's a powerful thing. People forget, right? What do you play?
Yeah. Okay.
I sing. No, that's what you do. You play the microphone.
Right. Yeah. Well, with that in mind, I'm going to take the mic.
Yep.
And we're going to move on. And in a moment, though, we're going to return with Censorship in Malaysia here on A Bit of Culture, BFM 89.9. And we're back with myself, Cam Raslan, Azmu Yunor, and now Charmaine Othman with Censorship.
Yes. Yeah. I think in October... everyone was excited to watch Hustlers, the stripper heist movie. Okay, I was
you
excited.
You were excited.
No, because it was produced and it starred my favorite pop star, Jennifer Lopez.
Mm.
But also, I guess, you know, in the spirit of like, you know, female-centric films, I was, you know, looking forward. And they had released the trailers. I even saw like certain gyms, certain shops like having like tie-ups. And then LPF banned the film. Not even like heavily censored, just banned the film. So the reason was like, you know, it's too sexy and obviously there were like drugs involved.
Strippers.
But they showed it in Singapore, which I was like surprised because I thought that's the more prudish sibling, right, between the two countries. So I went to Singapore with my mom to watch Hustlers. So I watched it. I was like, okay, I really didn't see any issue with it.
And no cuts at all over there.
No cuts.
There you go.
No cuts at all. They gave an 18 rating and then came back and then Joker was playing in the cinemas as well. So I was like, okay, let me go watch Joker. And I'm like, spoiler, who hasn't watched Joker?
It's your fault for not having watched it yet.
Switch off now. But spoiler, like, he just shoots this guy on TV.
Yeah.
I mean, not that I'm saying like everyone should be a stripper and everyone should shoot people on TV, but I'm saying like, what is the parameters that LPF like, you know, practices, you know? And then I went on to the LPF website and the head of LPF is Atuan Haji. So I'm thinking like, if Atuan Haji watches Hustlers, of course he's gonna think this is a bad film. And no, the Tuan Hajis and Hajas won't watch a film about strippers, you know. So there just needs to be clever censorship, you know.
Yeah. So somebody
who knows the field. Filmmaking of films.
But I mean, I don't know. It's like, if you have censors, I mean, people who make censorship.
Yeah.
If you have people who are censors, then you have to use them, right? They can't just watch every movie and say, that's fine.
Yeah.
They got to cut something.
Yeah.
I mean,
they just got to do their something.
They got to do their something. And then a female-centric movie is going to be already like, okay.
I
got me at female-centric.
Personally, like, felt like it was very, like, sexist.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know... And actually, to be honest, the only naked body in Hustlers was a man's body.
There you go.
Yeah.
So, but
Jennifer Lopez,
who is the queen of all...
In my heart, yes.
Right. She's quite famous for, I believe it's called twerking, or sort of...
Not twerking,
her booty.
But her booty. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of that going on, presumably.
She's got like this amazing like pole dance routine which she does at the start of the film.
Kena ada lah. What you get when you.
Because like they built her, because of her character. She said like, you can't just say she's the best stripper in the club. You have to show it.
Yeah.
So it was really done well. And she wasn't naked. Like I said, the only naked body in the film was a man. And honestly, like, if you watch that as a man, it really shows how dumb some men can be. So exactly. I'm immediately up here. It was like, exactly.
But we should be held to the moral standards of the most moralistic amongst us, shouldn't we?
No, yeah, so then why are we allowing Joaquin Phoenix to shoot a legend?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
On screen, yeah, you know? Yeah. And the bit with the scissors.
Yeah.
So no dancing girls, but you know, let's show them, you know, stabbing people in the eye.
So violence is still kind of like
it's okay. Yeah,
that's a but double standard.
But you're making a false equivalence. I mean,
no, but it is a double standard, man. It's in.
Double standard. Yeah. I mean, if you are saying like, you know, this is because they always say, you know, bad influence,
yeah,
the pengaruh, you know, first of all. You can't start a strip club here.
Yeah. People
people
do already know what parameters are.
My issue with censorship would be the idea is that if we don't censor these things, then we'll be having a bad influence upon people and all these crimes are going to happen because of it and be offended. But the thing is, we can actually prove that to be empirically incorrect because there are a bunch of people in this country who have to sit down and watch all of these movies and make these cuts.
Yeah.
Now, we could find out from police records, those people who make those cuts, do they then go out and make crimes or sex crimes, etc., above the national average?
Oh. Yeah.
Because if they do, then we can say, yes, the movies they have watched have influenced them to do that. If they do not, then we can say, actually, these scenes make no difference to a person whatsoever.
Exactly. All these officers are the ones sacrificing themselves, right?
They are.
They're exposing themselves to all this crude stuff.
Or rating. Hustlers could have been played with an 18.
Exactly.
And you need to properly enforce it. I mean, compared to the content that's on Netflix, like Hustlers was like pretty...
Yeah,
PG. You know, it's like really risque stuff on Netflix, you know, and then you know, people want to censor that also.
Yeah, see, I think that actually the rating standard, the PG, the 18, etc.
Yeah.
What that actually means is that it was on 18 until the censors got their hands on it. But the censors then deemed this to be offensive at a kind of 18 level.
Mm-hmm.
But don't worry, we cut all that stuff out.
You know, but you know what offends me nowadays is commercials. So we should censor commercials. Uh-huh. It's annoying, man. You turn on a YouTube video and suddenly Maggie appears. Sometimes back to back, sneak another one now. Can sneak another one. Top finish, done. Oh, next Oreo. Oh, man.
So what we need to do is
let's censor commercials.
Get Asmo, you know.
Yeah.
In LPN.
Let's and then make the media the clear. No capitalism in media. No capitalism in media. No ads. No profits.
I was telling my friends last night about Crash. Have you guys seen Crash? David Cronenberg film, right?
Yes.
So when I told them the premise of it, they didn't believe me. They're like, are you making this up? I'm like, I'm not. So I played them the trailer and then the rating comes out. NC-17 maybe we should... But the 18 here applies to no children at all. Can all children have
to be... So what's NC-17?
No children, 17.
No children, NC. Yeah.
If it's R, you can bring a kid but with a parent.
Supervise. Right. I don't know how you supervise.
I don't know how you supervise a child in an R rating.
This part. Is that what you do when you...
But I don't know whether they still have it now. But in the 90s, like if you get an NC-17, it's like, your film's very risky.
That's part of the marketing.
Yeah.
Getting that
NC-17.
So Charmaine, you're the one who's raised the issue. So what would you like to see?
Actually, I haven't done much research on it, but to study more LPF, and I don't think the same one person should be like censoring all the films. Then I think they need to be smarter.
So
these discussions have to happen in LPF. Like if one person says we have to ban Hustlers, then someone should fight and say on that grounds we also should ban Joker.
Yeah, it should be decided somehow.
But I don't know how it's run, so that's my thing now.
Censorship.
We can make money out of this, right? Do like all those SMS things. SMS if you support censorship. That'll help with the coffers. Isn't it? People are like, all right, man. People always want to be part of something.
Yeah, you know, Asmil, your ideas
put
for this.
Put some extra buttons that they don't have to pay extra.
I'm afraid, Asmil, your ideas for this are setting us back like 30 years.
But also,
30 years behind, but that's a lasso. Then after that, you go back. If you,
censorship is the enemy of like every artist, yeah, man.
Is it? I mean, that's such a broad statement.
No, but sometimes it's a fun, annoying thing to play around.
Yeah.
Because if it's there, you know.
Yeah.
So that's
yeah.
how you harness that. But of course, it is always bugging lah. It really prevents you from. I mean, some people can't just or cannot do this. So you know,
it's sort of like disrespecting.
Yeah.
Because like, if a film is censored, you are not screening. Yeah. Let's say what's Todd Phillips who yeah. directed Joker, yeah. right? If you yeah. censor Joker, right, you're not screening Todd Phillips' Joker. Yeah. You're screening LPS version right. of the Joker. So it's a bit yeah. disrespectful. Yeah. 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 But then...
But well, that's not an issue, though.
No, like, but
not an issue for
I don't think anyone cares.
No, but it's an issue of media literacy, though. I think yeah. I think Malaysians generally, I said say, is culturally illiterate sometimes when it comes to things like this, right?
Yeah.
Like in between those things, like, come on, you have some sense,
yeah.
you know, in making decisions. So that's a huge...
I mean, you teach this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that we have to teach him about this, I mean, like, that means there's something our school system still not complete.
I agree with you, but I think that there are so many points where in this society we kind of seem to be needing to be reminding ourselves that there's authority.
Yeah, yeah.
And authority
yeah.
has power.
Yeah.
yeah.
And it's arbitrary. Yeah. It makes no sense, Charmaine.
Yeah.
But it must be respected.
Yeah.
And in a way, perhaps that is what censorship board is doing. It's just asserting itself as, it doesn't matter what it cuts.
Mm-hmm.
Or it bans yeah. once
it's
every 5 years.
It's just
got
to do whatever. It's like some KPI.
Yeah. yeah. I mean, every 5 years, a movie has to yeah. get banned.
Sometimes I appreciate censorship. Sometimes I don't.
Mm.
In the sense where, I guess for parents especially, you know, all yeah. the sex scenes will be cut out from a film. So that's kind of like, ah.
Some relief lah.
Some relief, right?
Or when, yeah. when even adult.
If you somehow saunter in your kid and watch a film that... Kids yeah. can't go in.
No, and also things, you know, I was watching Hustlers because it's about strippers,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And then I said to my mom, I said, nasib baik, there are no strip clubs in Malaysia. I don't know how all the wives will go to sleep every night.
Wow. That has a positive effect.
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
Go back. Thank God we're in Malaysia.
That's right. Yeah. You.
So, okay, in a nutshell, what I'm saying is Joker should have been banned as
yeah.
well.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. True.
Yeah. Okay.
Nice aham.
I mean, I don't know. It's just going to be going on forever, this
yeah,
issue.
Yeah,
so, it's, yeah. Like, it's there. Like, it'll no always change. Be there.
Yeah.
But hang on, the F word, though. The F word's around now, isn't it? The cinema.
Yes.
It's almost
if
like,
it's 18, the F word gets through. But only for... foreign films. And that's the problem with spilled gravy at the moment. That's what I've heard.
I see.
Oh, okay.
Well, sell it as a foreign film.
That's
all. Just dub it into Italian. okay, so that brings us to the next part of the show. Final part, recommendations, where we recommend something that we think might be of interest. And I guess I'm going first.
Yes, please.
So, you know, the amount of times, guys, I mean, you've asked me the same question is, Cam, is there a book that really helps describe the state of the Mediterranean, the warfare involved there, the cultural conflicts in there during the let's say, 15th, 16th century? And I've never been able to tell you yes, but now I kind of can. I found a book, actually it came out a few years ago. It's called Empires of the Sea, The Siege of Malta, The Battle of Lepanto, and The Contest for the Center of the World by Roger Crowley.
Wow.
It's about a fascinating period of time. And I tell you, this guy, Roger Crowley, he can write. And I really enjoy his. A little bit florid sometimes. But
I don't know much about the... Mediterranean.
It's a fascinating place.
Any interesting things?
Well, it was the Battle of Lepanto, which was like the final battle involving galleys. Galleys being what the Romans and everybody used.
Yeah.
1550 or thereabouts. And like thousands of people died in this battle. Which is
wow.
Like, and
how long ago was it?
1550. You go with the maths after that. I'm not quite sure. But it's a really fascinating time when you had the Ottoman Empire on one side, the Spanish Empire on the other, sort of fighting over the Mediterranean with all these pirates there as well. Not the Johnny Depp kind.
Oh, okay. But, man.
Yeah. But, well, pirates nonetheless, but not Johnny. They were more like Arab types. So so that's a great book, Empires of the Sea by Roger Crowley. I'm enjoying it so much.
Empires of the Sea.
Yeah. So Azmil, what's yours?
Ah, let's see. I would like to recommend a highway.
A highway.
A highway that I have been frequenting for the last half of my life.
Uh-huh.
It's a lifeline to me and the rest of the country into industrious life. The Lebuh Raya Utara Selatan, Northbound.
Okay.
Okay.
Why so?
Yeah, it's an odd thing because I spent last 2 weeks, there were major jams there. Got to know the place really well, man. Brought me into some existentialist state, sitting at the RNR Serdang there. There's one day where they closed one, after the Sungai Besi toll, only one lane was left. So can you imagine from the highway, people coming in, after the toll, like 9 lanes going to 1 lane.
Yeah, yeah.
So apparently the jam wasn't until noon. I waited there from 7:30. I waited, I canceled morning class, and I'm like, oh, okay, I replaced it afternoon. But then the jam was still happening at noon, man. So, but I got to know that RNR is a charming little RNR. It has good nasi lemak.
No, the KFC
there.
And the Dunkin' Donuts.
No, ni is belah northbound. So you're heading towards Sungai Besi, KL.
Oh, okay.
So the last stop. Yeah.
the last stop there, trying to get into KL.
But it's not a large RNR. So it's very short. So sometimes it's
not
parking.
And it's not very far from the end of the highway.
And you can enter it from the inside Serdang. There's like a back way.
But,
you can park your car.
Hang on, your recommendation is a backhanded one. You're not actually recommending the North-South Highway. You're condemning the North-South Highway.
No, I'm recommending it. Spend more time, get to know it better.
No, wait. Some of my unhappiest memories have been on that highway. I've driven it a lot.
I've listened to albums and albums of, I don't know how many artists, full discographies because of the Plus Highway.
I have spent 12 hours getting from Penang to KL.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
That's a lot of good albums.
But 8 to 9 to Penang. Wow.
Yeah.
On first day Raya. My family thought like, no one's going to be traveling on first day Raya.
Yeah. No, everybody thought it was.
Yeah, everyone.
And it just reminds me every time, why are there tolls? Get rid of the damn tolls.
Yeah.
No, that's why I say it. Toll makes sense. You spend more time. Then you go like, well, them cheap. I can stay here for 6 hours for $1.20.
Oh, come on.
Today was a good jam. I got my money's worth. So like 3 hours on the road, I paid $5.
I was
perfect.
Stuck in a tunnel on the North-South Highway, the one that after Ipoh, going towards Kuala Kangsar. I was stuck in there for like, I was just beginning to hallucinate.
Do you know, I've always wanted to design a tour for tourists.
Jam
tour. A traffic jam tour.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Because like, we get like visiting comics all the time. Yeah. And the first thing they say, my God, I was stuck in this traffic for like 2 hours.
You should change that. They come here like, God, I want to see the traffic jam.
Right. Yeah,
tomorrow morning, wake up.
We should design this tour.
On the bus, there's nasi lemak.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So. So Azmil Yunor's recommendation is whatever that just was.
Plus Highway.
And Shamin.
My recommendation is a series on Netflix. It's called Pose. The second season has just been put on Netflix. It's produced by, created by Ryan Murphy, the same guy who did American Horror Story, Glee.
Okay.
What I really like about it, it's a full trans and LGBT cast.
Wow.
So you're really seeing experiences that you, or a world that you would never have like access to.
Mm.
So do watch it. It's very dramatic. Wow. It's got Billy Potter. The guy who wore the big tuxedo ball dress to the Oscars, I think. But very good. I think I appreciate it because of the casting, the cast choices. It's set during the AIDS epidemic in America. So that's the background of the
bit of tragedy as well then.
Yeah, and it's you know, it's very up and down, happy and sad. And when it's happy, it's usually during the ballroom culture in New York. Like if you know the documentary Paris is Burning. You learn a lot about gay, the LGBT, Black and Latino community in America.
What's it called again?
Pose.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Interesting.
So that neatly brings us to the end of this week's episode. So it only remains for me now to thank Azmil Yunor for his unique contributions. And Charmaine Othman, do you have a show coming up that you...
Sedapnya Mulut on Astro Warna. It's a stand-up comedy show every Thursday.
Every Thursday.
All Malay, English stand-up comedians... Yeah, and Douglas Lim, Riza Van Gazel, Jen Hine, Chiho are all on it.
And Charmaine Othman.
And me, yes.
Cool.
Yep.
And so with that, please check that out, everyone.
Yep. Oh,
and,
I'm playing too. I've got a few gigs coming up.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Azmil.
I'm on tour.
Go on then, tell us where.
I'm going to be at LifeHack on 6 December, Friday. Come by.
Where, sorry?
LifeHack in Kota Damansara.
Right.
There's a visiting songwriter. His name is Make Like a Tree. He's from... So then got my own show at Merdekaria on the 10th. Come, next day is a public holiday if you're in Selangor.
Okay.
Got birthday holiday. Cool. After I'm on tour. So follow saya di social media semua dan info semua di sana. Yeah.
For all your banter needs, yes. On stage.
Asia MYL.
So thank you very much. And please join us next week for another exciting episode of A Bit of Culture here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.